This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
It is only Fourth Advent, and yet the framers of the lectionary have skipped us right to Matthew's nativity narrative. I am guessing that in your home, if you've had a chance to pull it out yet, mine only came out on Friday, if you've had a chance to pull out your nativity sets, yours is based on Luke's account of Jesus's birth, not on Matthew's. So I want you to imagine your nativity set, the one at your house, or maybe the one at the house you grew up in, or one somewhere else you've seen, and let's make it a Matthew nativity set. Okay, so first of all, if you have sheep or shepherds or cows or any other animals in your nativity set, they all have to go. Matthew has none of that. The wise men, you're going to need to move them to another room. They have to wait just a little bit longer. If your nativity set has some sort of a structure that represents the inn or the barn or whatever word you use for the place where Jesus was born, you have to take that away too. Matthew gives us nothing for a setting. We don't know where this happens. The same is true if your baby Jesus is laying in something to represent a manger, because Matthew doesn't tell us about Jesus' first bed. If your nativity set has an angel, you get to keep it. But you should maybe consider putting a cloth over it, like maybe you have some lace or something else, because we need to represent that this is a dream angel. This angel didn't appear in the waking world, only appears to Joseph in his dream. You can keep Mary, of course, and you can keep the baby, and maybe you should move Joseph just a little bit closer to the center than you normally put him, because Matthew gives this moment to Joseph. And Joseph doesn't get a lot of moments on the center stage. We'll have lots of time to think about Mary and her journey of parenting. We don't get as much time with Joseph. So today, I invite you to hold your Joseph from your nativity set in the center of the picture for just a little bit of time. Joseph, it tells us in Matthew's gospel, was a righteous man. And so he wanted to do what was right. His plans and the path of his life that he thought he had is disrupted by God's plans. And this is a theme that Matthew is going to bring us back to again and again and again. Over and over and over again in Matthew's gospel, when the kingdom of God comes near to our lives, it comes as a scandal. And so right in the beginning, in the very first chapter of Matthew's gospel, we have what could be a scandal. A young woman pregnant before her wedding. Matthew tells us Mary was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So the narrator knows this. And maybe Joseph knows how this came to be. It's not clear. At least some, even going back to ancient times, commentators who've looked at Matthew's gospel think maybe he did know what was going on. But it is still a scandal. It is still a disruption to what he thought was going to be the unfolding of his life. But he is a righteous man, and so he wants this to work out okay for himself, but of course also for Mary and for this baby. And so he plans to put her away quietly so that it won't draw unneeded attention. And he seems to be afraid. Now, maybe he's afraid because he's worried about all the social consequences of a pregnancy that's happening outside of the order of things that should happen. Or maybe he's afraid because he knows this is the kingdom of God come near. Because he recognizes that God is doing something special in his family's life. And maybe, at least for a little bit, his reaction to that is to say, no, thank you, I think I'll exit this scene. Just as well, God, you do what you need to do, but I don't think you need me in it. And I'll just move aside. Let that unfold without me. So Joseph has these doubts, these fears, these uncertainties that are arising because the kingdom of God has come close to him. And God answers those uncertainties with this angel who appears in the dream. This is Matthew's Annunciation. Mary doesn't get her own version of this story in Matthew's gospel. The angel comes to Joseph to say, "Do not be afraid. This child is indeed the fulfillment of the promises that have been made. And you have a role to play. Marry her. Help her raise this child. Be a part of this unfolding of God's plan in the world." And that is what Joseph does, according to the text. He and Mary are married, and he is a father to this baby. And he gets no spoken lines in all of Matthew's gospel, but we can infer from the end of this passage that he at least says this baby's name is Jesus, because Matthew says he said he named him Jesus. So Joseph named him Jesus. So that's all we get as far as what Joseph says. We don't even get, like we sometimes do in the Mary story, a beautiful song of consent, of participation. All we know is that he did do what the angel told him to do. He goes into that role and steps up to provide for that family. Joseph's narrative arc, in the way that Matthew tells it, is not actually from the outside all that exciting. At the beginning of the story, Joseph intends to be married to Mary, to be a good husband to her. He's a righteous man. He intends to raise children with her and to continue on in the trade that he probably inherited from his father. And at the end of the story, he marries her, he's a good husband to her, they raise their children together, he carries on in the trade that he probably learned from his father. There is, as you might notice, no change, actually, in Joseph's plans. And yet the kingdom of God has come so close to his family that nothing will ever be the same. And in this sense, I think that Joseph provides a really beautiful example for Christian vocation. Because for most of us, following Jesus in our daily lives, in our roles as parents and spouses, in our jobs, doesn't look like the whole world turned upside down and completely unrecognizable. Instead, it looks like taking on each of the things that we are asked to do and doing them in the name of God. Doing them in a way that recognizes that the kingdom of God is coming near to us day after day, and that we get to be participants in that kingdom, even as we go about the things we already meant to do. Joseph goes back and is married as he intended to do, but he has a whole new way of understanding his role in his family. He now is a husband and a father, not just for his own or his family's joy, but for the very coming of God, for the incarnation, for the kingdom of Christ born into the world. And that is our work too. We are invited to be parents and neighbors and friends, spouses, doctors, lawyers, teachers, all of the things we do, not for ourselves alone, but for the kingdom of God born into the world. So when you go back home today and you see your creche or nativity set at home, I hope you'll give Joseph a second look. And I hope you might consider taking him as your companion for a little while and follow in his example of faithful Christian service. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.